Well, the country's official unemployment rate, as we know, has been the big talking point since it was announced last week. 29% in the second quarter. That's the highest jobless rate in 11 years. The thing is, it's probably a lot worse. Although unemployment seems to be a straightforward conversation about whether or not people have work, the difference between the official and expanded definitions raise the question of who is really unemployed in South Africa, who's not, who is counted, and the fact of the matter is jobless people must actively look for work to be counted as officially unemployed by Stats South Africa. So you can actually take the expanded number beyond 10 million South Africans out of work. It's a crisis that has caused the president to convene now monthly meetings of the NEDLAC partners, which will begin at the end of this month, or the beginning of September, September 2nd. And to talk about what the different role players around that NEDLAC table could do, I'm joined by Hugo Pienaar, Director of the Employment Practice at law firm Cliffdekker Hofmeyr. Evening, Hugo.
Good evening, Michael.
It's a crisis. Of that there is no doubt. We tend to say this at every quarterly labour force announcement. But there are some positive lessons, though, that we could learn from international success stories. Countries like Ireland, countries like Germany, who've tackled deep structural and systemic unemployment crises. Talk to me about how Ireland did this. In the 80s, they had a very high unemployment rate, and in the 90s, through a social pact, they managed to turn things around. How so?
Well, Michael, that's exactly what happened in the early 90s in Ireland. They managed to strike a social accord between government, labour and business. And all three parties came to that party with integrity and trust. And they managed to change that unemployment rate around and created a lot of jobs. Didn't last forever, but for other reasons. Of course, in our country, you know, the difficulty is you can't call for the exploitation of labour, you can't alienate investments. You have some job earners already providing for 10 or more dependents. You have an exceptionally high rate of youth unemployment, I think the highest in the world. The current model is not working. You have the government not providing infrastructure such as electricity at places. That causes more unemployment. And in fact, there's a big company in the Vulture Angle currently retrenching for that purpose. So you really need all three parties in our country to come together and have an open and honest debate and have a social sort of accord come to the fore. And I can think of various things that whether it's government, unions or business should do for the moment. If you want to, I can
start with government here. So you've got these the three key role players that are going to meet on the 2nd of September. What would you like to see from government?
I'd like them to create a more flexible employment environment. You see the growth in creation of employment is in the atypical sector, not in full-time employment. The legislation we need is one that's flexible for that purpose, where small businesses are accommodated, potentially lower minimum wages in those sectors, and everybody must make sacrifices in this regard. You may, for instance, say 6 months no-fault termination, but again, that's better than having no employment. You may consider small tax-free zones. We have incentives already for youth and the like, but certainly we need to create an infrastructure, a more flexible structure for parties to operate in. But as I said, people need to be brave about that. If I look at unions, for instance, one would say, why don't we consider productivity bargaining? Let's look at more flexibility. Let's maybe look at job at wage freezes. It's better than having no job. Let's reconsider strikes and look at the number of unprotected strikes and violent strikes. Let's focus on, for instance, the gap between the unemployed and the employed rather than the wage gap. I think that's where our focus should be. If we look at business, we should say, well, let's stop the investment strike. Let's provide for incentivized multi-skilling and trading. No retrenchment, as in Japan. No, some companies in Japan says you will have no retrenchment as long as employer or executives receive these bonuses. We need to be brave and revisit all of that, and then you can have the results as we've seen. The Netherlands, by way of example, is that for the first 4 years, you don't have the full complement of all benefits. Only in year four do you derive those benefits and the like. So yes, the NEDLAC code, my sense, is not, NEDLAC process is not that great for us at the moment. We've seen agreements reached there, and when it gets to government, it's outvoted by the majority party. We have in NECLAC, the government and Labour is essentially the same party, and that doesn't work. So we need to put on fresh caps and revisit all of that.
Isn't that the elephant in the room here, Hugo? If we look at the ability to extract some kind of social accord and quid pro quos across the table, it's very difficult for business to stand and say, well, we will try and stem the retrenchment bleeding, when it seems like it is continually outvoted by two out of the three parties. I mean, it's a very sad reality that you see companies settling a strike, not because of economic principles, but because of the violent nature of the strike.
You're absolutely right, Michael, and that is where you need everybody to come to the party. We need government, we need the police, when there's an unprotected strike and people destroy property, to come in and stop that conduct. Employers have to run to court to obtain relief, and even when they go with those court orders to the police, they get very little assistance or no assistance. Sometimes we have to go to court to force the police to comply with the court order. I mean, that's unacceptable. But the point you've made is exactly that, and that's what they achieved in Ireland, is because of the independence of the three parties that they could successfully reach some sort of accord. And that was give and take, absolutely, as you said.
There has been some give and take in a suite of new labour legislation that sought to try and insert interest arbitration into our labour law and the right to secret balloting, and we've yet to see the impact and effect of that, Hugo, so be very interested to see how that plays out over the course of the next so-called strike season. Unfortunately, that's all the time we've got for Hugo Pinner, Director of the Employment Practice at Cliffdecker Hofmeyer, with some sage words for all three role players as we try and tackle the systemic unemployment crisis. Let's cross to Cotlejo for the news.